Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoma Nation podcast show. Oh, Knockoma Nation podcast show.
Hey, it's another episode of the Knockoma Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's Josh Rhubarb, the Mountain, 69 Boone Brown. Right?
How y'all doing?
Oh, yeah. That's nice. And that's JT Owen Wilson's younger brother, Holton.
Wow,
Kenny. Wow.
Oh, yeah, you were supposed to be Joe Rogan's younger brother, weren't you? I called that wrong. My bad.
I don't know.
I can't remember what happened on yesterday's show. Nonetheless. I haven't said that a lot. I haven't said that in a long time. I've been better about it, Josh.
Ever since we made fun of you about it, you stopped, which makes me wish I never made fun of you about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Nonetheless,
here we go. Fellas, on Sunday, they played the match 2.0 with Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning and Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady, Tampa Tom, 12.
Tom Brady.
How did you guys feel about this? They played it on Eldrick's home course. It got a little stormy out there, a little rainy late in the day, but it was a lot of fun for me. What do you guys think of the show?
It was good. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was it's the first foursome Tigers had in a while.
I thought
it's a genius team. Like, I was watching with my father-in-law, and we sat there and we said the same thing. This is a genius TV idea.
Yes!
Why don't they do this all the time?
Exactly!
This is amazing.
I told Josh that. We were talking on the phone. I'm like, why don't they do this all the time?
Well, I had heard it promoted on the radio throughout the week, and then I saw a couple of like things about it on Twitter, and then I'd forgotten about it. And then so then it's Sunday, and I was checking Twitter, and then people were tweeting about it. And based on my timeline, it was going to be trash, and people were talking about how Tom Brady sucks, and this is stupid, and this is bleh. And so then I turn it on. I was like, oh, man, I forgot it was on. I turn it on, and I'm like, this is fucking awesome. Like, are you kidding me?
Addictive.
How is this bad? Yeah, Tiger Woods is wearing shorts, okay? Can we just talk about that?
He's wearing shorts. I've never seen him in shorts.
I've never seen his legs, right. Tiger Woods is wearing fucking shorts on TV. They're riding their own golf cart, their personal golf carts, like their country club.
And let's
golf
be honest,
carts.
Like, they're riding these golf carts, but it looks like Johnny Knoxville riding them. If you watch, like, they're driving them off over the edge of bumps, blam, blam, blam. I'm like, holy crap, that looks like me on a golf course, you know?
Because they play golf the way four guys play golf.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was great, and our buddy Barrett Salee tweeted this, and I agreed with him. But for years, y'all, even up until recently, because we've talked about it before on the podcast, I just don't like Phil Mickelson. Okay, I'm always making fun of him, and I love to like hate on
old lefty.
I hate Phil Mickelson. I sports hate Phil Mickelson. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
sports hyphen hate. But I can't hate that guy anymore. He's
so likable.
He's awesome. He's awesome.
Did you see his tweet before the show started where he was saying, game plan for winning today? And I don't remember all the full formula that he gave, but I remember one of them was he said, I'm going to be hitting some what I'm going to call hellacious seeds. He said, Tiger, he likes to hit bombs. Me, I'm going to hit a low, worm-burning, below-the-wind, hellacious seed. And it's going to be fantastic. And him, like, doing that, I was like, oh, my God, this is the most awesome thing ever. Like, just hearing Phil talk about hitting hellacious seeds. It was, like, it was fantastic. The other part of it was seeing Peyton and Tom Brady basically play golf like Josh and JT. I'm not going to put myself because I'm not that good, but it was awesome, you know.
Yeah,
of course JT has a picture with Phil. Of course you have a picture of yourself with Phil.
I love Phil.
Yeah.
No, it was cool because it was most players at the Masters are so like focused in on what they got to do, and they're just channeled in.
I love that
man.
Picture.
Phil comes up to the tee box at 16. And he's just high-fiving, fist-bumping everybody, like, yeah, what's up? Yeah, he's just there, like, having a good time.
Yeah.
And that was what it was. Like, there was nothing I could say. Like, it felt like Applejacks. Like, why do you like it? I don't know. I just do. Like, why am I watching this? I don't know, but it's awesome. Like, it was so fun to see the little bit of personality, a little bit of trash talk.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, this is a genius idea. Because people say that golf is boring to watch on TV. And sometimes it can be when the tournament is some tournament you don't even know where it's being played and you don't know who the guys in contention are. I get that. I love golf and I love watching golf. But I was watching it thinking, man, there's some things the PGA could really use to elevate their product if they just took some cues from this show. Really highlight the personalities involved in golf, because of any sport that doesn't allow you to have any personality, golf is number one. I mean, they just don't allow you to have any sort of flair, any sort of...
Well, even this, I was like, why are you muting the cuss words? Like, no one cares that is watching this. Like, if somebody is watching this, they probably also just watched the entire series on Michael Jordan. Please don't mute this. It's too good. And they're like... doing 6-second bleep outs because Tom Brady cusses one time because he missed a putt. You know, like, come on. No one cares. Like, I'm not a fan of nasty language all the time, but you missed a putt. It's all right. It's not the end of the world, you know? I don't know. It felt like that was the only part they missed on with this series.
No, it definitely makes it more humanizing and, like, we get on baseball all the time about not embracing the personalities that they have in the game. Well,
yeah.
Golf is loaded with a bunch of really good young golfers. Now, Justin Thomas is a good example of a guy who's one of the best golfers in the world. Brooks Koepka, Jordan Spieth, just to name a couple. And we know these names. If you watch golf, you know they're good golfers. We don't know anything about them and their personality and the things they like. You know, Ricky Fowler, probably the only guy you know that shows a little bit of personality out there because of the way he dresses. But Ricky Fowler also has never won anything that's worth a dang either. But there's so many good, cool characters in golf. And guys like Bubba Watson, guys like John Daly stand out like sore thumbs because they've managed to kind of get their personalities out there a little
bit. I was telling Josh, you could do this as a weekly series. And you don't even have to have Tiger and Phil in it.
Yeah.
You could have John Daly and Ricky Fowler, like you just said. Like name those two guys. John Daly, Ricky Fowler, and then it doesn't even have to be sports personalities. You could have, like, Joe Biden and Donald Trump play a foursome with these guys. You know, like, I mean, I don't care who here's it is. Just, like, fill
it in. We were cooking these ideas while we were watching it, and here's what I came up with. You want two golfers, and you want two athletes to kind of keep the thing. If we were doing a remake of this, and I thought, John Daly, Bubba Watson.
Yeah.
With Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be fantastic.
You'd raise another $20 million.
The only problem is Charles sucks. He's not good enough for that. Michael would outplay him up and down the thing. You know,
I don't care about watching Charles play golf. Now, I care about watching Charles talk shit to Michael Jordan.
Now, Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas, I'd pay money for that one. Like, hey, you could pay-per-view that segment. I'm down. Like, let's watch that one.
I'd love to watch old, out-of-shape John Daly still grip it and rip it and hit, God, 330 down the fairway.
Yeah.
You know, in his goofy pants. And Bubba Watson, who is about the most idiosyncratic golfer there is. He's a total head case, but man, he's self-taught. And Bubba Golf, man, he just gets out there and he's the same way.
He
man.
Can hit any shot. This is what's crazy about Bubba. And Phil, they can hit anything from anywhere in any way, you know.
Yeah.
Like watching Phil hit a ball backwards off a tree on purpose is the most insane golf shot I think I've ever seen in my entire life. Or that, what was it, when Bubba won the Masters that year,
And that shot from the pine
straw?
That
shot from the pine straw where he literally on purpose hooked it. Like, he hooks it about 130 yards to the, what was it, right or left, whichever way you
hit it. It was amazing.
It was insane. But, yeah. I would pay my – I mean, I would seriously tune into that. Now, here's the question, fellas. We talked about this on an earlier episode this week. Like, did I really enjoy it because of what it was or because of what there isn't right now? Would I have enjoyed this – if baseball was going on and a bunch of other stuff?
No, you probably wouldn't have watched it. I mean, if the Braves were playing the Mets,
I don't know. It's
Sunday
so
afternoon,
unusual.
You'd probably be watching that
it's
instead.
It's so unusual. I think we would have.
Did you watch the first one, Josh?
Wait, what are y'all talking about?
Because this is the second time they've done it.
I didn't.
No. I didn't either. So, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they did the match last year, and nobody paid attention much except for, like, Golf World people.
I had no idea they did that last year.
Yeah, this was the match 2.0. You know, it was like the second one. So, I don't think we would have paid attention if we weren't
locked
down.
Tiger and Phil did it last year. Now they expanded it and made it a little more interesting. Having
and maybe that's
Brady
why it was more interesting. You know, I don't know. You know, by adding them in.
I think it's just you have nothing else to watch, and we'll watch whatever. I mean, would a 10-part Jordan documentary be as captivating during a regular sports season? No, it'd probably just be like any other 30 for 30 thing.
It definitely wouldn't like, pull near as many near the the draw that it
they
is.
Did the 6-part one on OJ a couple years ago, and you know that just kind of blended in with everything else.
Yep.
But if it's battling with playoff basketball and playoff hockey and regular season baseball and you know, NCAA baseball and all that other stuff you got going on, it kind of gets lost in the shuffle. But when you're the only show in town, it's something to watch.
You know, we asked this question a while back about which other superstars would we watch a 10-part documentary on. I've been thinking about that some because I cut a lot of hay since we had that conversation. So I did a lot of thinking about it. I came up with a few names, fellas. One, Mike Tyson. I think we might have said that when we were talking about it.
Absolutely.
But Mike Tyson, I would tell you another one. Jose Canseco. I would watch a 10-part series about that crazy man.
Is there enough meat on the bone to make a 10-part Jose Canseco?
Not anymore.
I think there is. I think there is.
He's so like on the field career.
No.
What, Josh?
Yeah.
No?
I don't.
Maybe not 10 parts.
Yeah, not 10 parts, but definitely a definitely a 30 for 30.
Well,
something.
They're doing one on they're doing one on Tom Brady, aren't they? Didn't they announce that?
Yeah.
They're doing one on Tom
next year. Yeah.
Which I think Tom is a
that's
on camera a super boring guy, but I think behind the scenes he's a super fun.
I don't think he's that boring.
Funny, interesting guy.
Yeah, Falcons fans hating Tom Brady is hilarious. You know, like that's like Pistons fans hating
Tom
Michael
Brady.
Jordan.
Hate,
you know, like
hate Kyle Shanahan if you want to hate anybody.
Right, like Tom
Brady.
I'm gonna look back 10 years from now and be like, you know, I got to watch the greatest quarterback that's ever played the game of football, and maybe there was more talented people, but nobody's won more than him. I got to watch him in his prime, and it was awesome. You know, like
and Tom Brady joining Twitter really showed off his personality. That he's a funny dude. Like he's been awesome at Twitter. He's been really funny. And I think that shows up. Peyton Manning is a great example of a guy that I thought was boring for years. I mean, he was the biggest robot as a quarterback. But when you see, like, his show and stuff, Peyton Manning is the most off-the-cuff, hilarious guy. Like, he's a funny, funny dude.
Did you hear his jabs about UGA during the match?
I did. Yeah.
He wasn't going to wear red with Tiger because he said Kirby Smart would just love to catch him in red and black and then show it to all his recruits.
That's awesome. You're just mentioning Kirby Smart during a, you know, a show that's getting millions and millions
exactly.
of views. So thanks for that. By the way, Tennessee's only mention was Tom Brady saying they hadn't been good since Peyton Manning left.
It's true.
Which is a bold claim for a Michigan guy because – they ain't been good either.
Tom Brady didn't even start at Michigan, did he?
No, he started a few games. Him and Drew Henson, who you remember, former Yankees big time prospect. Him and Drew Henson kind of battled back and forth for the starting quarterback job. So I'm trying to think of other athletes I'd watch a 10-part documentary on.
Lloyd Carr's got to really be sad that he missed out on using Tom Brady as a quarterback. I'm just saying.
Like, if Tom Brady was good then, he would have. But
maybe. Swing and a miss.
But he did win a national title with Brian Greasy in 97, so I mean, he's not hating
That's
it.
True. That's true. That I would watch a 10-part series on Muhammad Ali.
Oh yeah.
And like his different eras of his career and everything. I think I'd be down for that. I could enjoy that. Especially like you'd get an ESPN, which should be up for that. Like with all his activism stuff, I could imagine them like.
Oh, that would be good. I don't know if you'd get 10 out of it, but Dale Earnhardt would be fascinating.
Oh yeah. Be good.
Going through his early years and then the Intimidator years. And then of course his death. I mean, that's one of the bigger sports stories of our lifetime will be, you know, the biggest star dying at the biggest events. You know, that's something that you'll never see again.
So Josh, JT, tell me this. Looking back at The Last Dance, okay. Was that a documentary?
Not really. I mean, it wasn't that they told the story of like, but there was so much current stuff. It wasn't just like they were going back and reviewing his career.
Yeah.
There was so much like, current input.
Have you guys seen the Miles Davis
Birth of Cool?
Birth of Cool. Yes, Birth of Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, you see it. I think that's a pretty accurate documentary within reasons. Like, it kind of documents Miles Davis at all the different high points, low points of his career. Now, have you seen the Quincy Jones documentary? That's on Netflix. Okay, watch it this week sometime if you get time. It's cool. It's neat. Also, did you realize that Rashida Jones is Quincy Jones' daughter? I totally didn't realize that until I
heard
this.
I read that in an interview a few years back. Like, she used to hang out with Tupac when she was a kid.
Yeah, it's wild.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, she kind of does this video, I guess, about Quincy Jones, and it's supposed to be a documentary, but it's really more of like a highlights documentary, like a hypumentary almost. Like, it talks about he went through a low point in his career. It doesn't say like Quincy Jones was addicted to all kinds of drugs and alcohol and like ruined his marriage because of it and then got better. You know, it doesn't talk about like true low points. It talks about Quincy Jones being the creator of Frank's, like the composer for Frank Sinatra. And that's awesome. And you hear all these awesome things about Quincy Jones, but it doesn't really dig into like documenting the story of Quincy Jones. It's just like, here's all the amazing things Quincy Jones did. And that's really cool, but it's not, I don't know that that's truly a documentary. You know what I'm saying? So like, I was just curious, like what makes a documentary versus like a hypumentary versus, I guess there's like good documentaries. Then there's interesting documentaries. And then there's like hypumentaries. Cause I don't know what other term to use that just kind of like, I think Jordan was like this weird blend of all three, but yeah.
I think people just call it documentary because it's not a fiction movie. You know, it's not like, you know, it's not like you're watching Inception. You know, it's nonfiction. But most documentaries, you look at everything from a past tense. The Jordan thing had a lot of present tense involved.
Sure.
You're getting current feedback from Michael Jordan on his thoughts of what happened back then. But that's just nitpicking.
It kind of feels like the difference in a biography and an autobiography. Like, Jordan's felt kind of like an autobiography, like in his own words kind of thing. Miles Davis felt like a biography about Miles Davis.
Quincy, he's dead, so we can't really say anything.
Sure. He obviously knew this was going to come up, so there was interview pieces about it. And then, like, but then, like, Quincy Jones felt like very much like an autobiography, like, hey, check out all my cool highlights. And, yeah, now that I'm old, I'm having to kind of stop drinking because, you know, I've had, like, nearly had a stroke a couple times. But, like, that was kind of the essence. And it was really cool. Like, me and my wife watched it, and learning about Quincy Jones is really cool. It just felt super sanitized knowing what I know about Quincy Jones, you know. So, I don't know. I don't know. Josh, what are you thinking, dude? You seem to have several opinions and ideas bounce around.
Josh has opinions? Wow.
I don't know.
Not anymore. Not anymore, guys.
No? No more opinions? Mm-hmm. You've given up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. But I do like documentaries.
Okay.
Such a hipster. Hipsters love documentaries. They call them docs, actually. They don't even say documentaries. I watch a good doc.
What are some of your favorite documentaries?
Ooh.
I'll share mine if you'll share yours.
When We Were Kings
JT. JT.
Fantastic.
JT, yeah. That is my favorite documentary.
I've never seen it.
See? It's fantastic.
It is the best.
It's so good.
It is the best. It's the best thing you've ever seen. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's,
really it's about Muhammad Ali's fight against George Foreman.
George Foreman. The Rumble in the Jungle.
The Rumble in the Jungle. They did the special fight in Zaire. Was it Zaire?
I think it was Zaire.
I think and it's sounds right. It's just fascinating. It follows him all that year training, and at this point he's older, and George Foreman's this young stud, and so it's all this. It's a brilliantly done one, and they invite like James Brown and all these musical artists to play music for it leading up to it. It was crazy.
Oh. Man. It was so good. The Ali Boumaye. Ali Boumaye. He's coming out to the ring with a bunch of kids from Zaire. They're chanting Ali Boumaye, which I believe is Swahili for Ali kill him. Ali kill him.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
And it's one of those was just like boxing. I wish boxing had never just lost its way, because this Dana White from UFC brought up a good point. He said, if you're standing on a city block and you look over on this corner and there's two guys shooting baskets, and you go to this corner and there's guys throwing a football, and you look at this corner and there's two guys playing catch, and you look at this corner and there's two guys fighting, well, which one are you going to watch? You're going to watch two guys fighting. I mean, right? Yeah. I mean, it's our primal instincts to watch two guys punch each other in the face rather than watch two guys throw a ball, you know? And I was like, that's a great point. And unfortunately, boxing has been so mismanaged over the years that we don't even think about boxing as a mainstream sport anymore. It's gone the way of, like, you know, it's now a niche sport. But this documentary shows, like, how cool boxing is and how much, like, you know, how much personality. Obviously, Muhammad Ali, the greatest sports personalities of all time.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
He was. He was such a brilliant guy.
Oh, yeah.
Just very interesting. There's not anybody like him in history, you know?
Yeah.
That's definitely my number one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Same.
Did you guys ever see the Alfred Hitchcock documentary?
Mm-mm.
Because that one's way up there for me. It was really good.
No, I haven't seen that
called
one.
Called Hitchcock. It's pretty cool. And then, of course, for me, you know, I'm thinking either Godfather 2 or Goodfellas. If we're going, you know.
Those are documentaries.
Casino? Casino? Does that count?
I like Godfather 2.
Waterboy is a great movie. One for me. It's about
football
player, Bobby Boucher from Southern Louisiana. And his mom didn't want him to play, but he ended up playing anyways. And
he overcame those odds. And
he was the water boy.
What about A League of Their Own?
The Mud Dogs won the Bourbon Bowl.
League of Their Own. Fantastic.
That's not a documentary.
Right?
Have you ever seen Riding Giants? It's a documentary about big wave surfing.
I have. It's fantastic.
It's been amazing.
Oh, my Lord. It is intimidating and scary. And
is it like, what's that guy's name? Lars?
Laird Hamilton.
Yeah, Laird Hamilton. Yep. Yeah.
He's married to Gabrielle Reese beach volleyball fame.
Yeah, wow. It's incredible.
And which shows Mark Fu dying. Shows a guy dying in the movie, for crying out loud. And these guys are insane people.
Yeah, insane.
Yeah.
Another amazing one. Have you seen Lords of Dogtown about skating and how it got how it became amazing, you know?
Well, Dogtown and Z-Boys was the documentary. I'll clarify.
Okay, sorry.
Lords of Dogtown was the movie.
Gotcha. Okay.
Dogtown and Z-Boys was the
I've seen Dogtown and Z-Boys. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so good,
the birth of skateboarding.
Yeah, where they like empty the pools were dry because of a drought, and these guys were like, "Yeah, we can do this," and they start like pumping out the pools, and even some of them had water still in them, and they like learned to skate in them and everything. It's crazy.
All of the 30 for one thing ESPN does really well, their documentaries, all their 30 for 30s are always outstanding. They're always really, really good, even if it's a topic you don't think you care that much about. If you start watching it, they hook you in every time, and it could be just the most off the wall sport, but 20 minutes in, you're in for the whole ride.
Yeah.
And ESPN does a really, really good job of that.
Was that a 30 for 30 originally? I don't know.
No. This was a documentary. I was just thinking like I have 30 for 30s just set to record on my TV. So whenever a new one comes out, I can see it. I watched the Michael Vick one a couple months ago, which was so freaking fantastic. Like, it was, and that
was, that was pretty good too. Yeah, I watched that one too.
Yeah, I mean, not your traditional one because it involved a lot of him current day talking about stuff, but his rise, his fall, like just the footage of him doing incredible things.
Now, Josh, you've talked about your favorite, one of your favorites being the Battered Bastards of Baseball, right? That was one of your
big favorites. You know, my favorite of all times is When We Were Kings. And that was obviously, you know, back in the 70s. But I don't usually pick new things that are my favorites, like books or music or something like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when the Battered Bastards of Baseball is, it might be top five documentaries I've ever watched, and it was done like 3 years ago, I guess. It was on Netflix. It's amazing.
I've seen it.
It's good. It's an easy watch,
and
too.
It's so entertaining. It's fascinating. It's about the Portland Mavericks. It was this pro team in Portland, Oregon, and Kurt Russell played for the damn team. His dad was the owner. It's just bizarre.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird. Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
Want to support the nation's leading replacement-level podcast? Put your money where your mouth is, fellow degenerates. And visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For only $5 a month, you'll get access to behind-the-scenes episodes and patron-exclusive podcasts. And you'll be supporting your favorite knuckleheads. Visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation.
Speaking of bizarre, JT, I'm going to change gears here just a little bit. NFL, this last week, the owner shot down that silly compensation pick rule that we were talking about, because you hired a black person or a person of a minority that you would get an extra compensation pick, which was weird. Thank God they shot that down, because that was silly. We talked last week about how we think the Rooney Rule might be a good thing because of some general inequalities that kind of get built into the systemically built into things over time. Did you guys see this crazy thing where the cops killed this guy the other night? It's weird. They arrested this black guy, and the dude kept his knee on his throat
for a full five
minutes, and the guy ended up dying. Like, come on, cops, you got to do better. I don't care what the guy did wrong. If he's not pointing a gun at you or trying to actually murder you, there's no reason a guy in handcuffs should die. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's bullshit. It's honestly, I mean, until people that look like the three of us start making a bigger fuss about this kind of stuff, it's going to continue. And I don't think
it's overt racism, like kill the black man. I think it's systemic racism of like, we're scared of this guy, so we're going to like keep our knee on his throat or something. Look, you know, come on.
You know, I live about 2 hours away from where the guy was shot jogging.
Yeah. Like, what in the world?
Weirdly enough, I lived about 10 miles away from where Trayvon Martin was killed. And, you know, it's easy for minorities to raise the banner and have a cause behind this. But until people that look like the three of us start saying shit about it, nothing's ever going to change. I mean, you shouldn't be shot and killed just because you were jogging through a neighborhood.
Shouldn't be shot and killed because you forged a check, which is what this guy, choked to death because you forged a check. I mean, like, I don't care if you did it or not. I don't even care if you resist arrest. If you're not physically trying to kill someone, there's no reason you should accidentally end up dying. You know, like, it's stupid.
But there are people that go the extreme opposite route and think all cops are bad. No, not all cops are bad.
Not at all.
Are you kidding me? There's bad people in every walk of life, and there's bad people in every occupation. The thing is, you've got to hold people accountable, and there's got to be a threat of, okay, we got to make sure that we arrest this guy and we take good care of him, because if we don't, our asses are going to jail.
Yeah.
And until there's got to be that level of accountability, and that's not a race thing. That's just a simple crime and punishment thing.
Yeah.
That if you're arresting somebody for forging a check or whatever it may be, you have a duty to make sure that guy arrives safely to jail.
Yeah.
And that guy has his day in court, and that's up to the judge and jury to decide whether that guy's innocent or guilty. It shouldn't be a thing of, hey, we're gonna keep a knee on his neck where the guy can't breathe, and then now we've got a dead guy. Now you've killed somebody.
Right.
And he may have been guilty of forgery or whatever it was, but the guys that did that should be tried, held accountable, and sentenced, you know, to whatever extent they believe they should be.
And things aren't are very rarely black and white. And I don't mean that racially. I mean in the sense of it's very rare this guy was doing something bad and this guy was doing something good and somebody got hurt. It's usually some blend in the middle. Like, the guy might have been resisted arrest. He might have been – there might have been legitimate reasons to use force. It still doesn't make it okay to kill him, and it doesn't mean – the cops may have used a amount of force that was good. There may have been a part where they needed to be more forceful. Yeah. And the guy still ended up dead. That's not appropriate. You know, that like that's not okay. And I don't know.
I've never seen the guy in handcuffs that's on his belly using excessive force. Yeah. So I mean that's what your nightstick is for. That's what your taser is for. Sure. Unless the guy is like we had a thing here in Macon last week where a guy took his truck and rammed it into police cars, and he was shot and killed. He worked in my daughter's school. But no one raised a stink about it, A, because the guy was white, and B, because, well, when you're ramming your car into the cop's car, they have a reason to now open fire.
Right, exactly.
And that's a legitimate circumstance. And those things do happen. You just have to be able to differentiate what those circumstances are. And obviously, when a guy's on the ground in handcuffs, I mean, at that point, the game's over.
To me, like, it was like the deal in Baltimore where the cops basically didn't get in trouble for choking that guy out, and he died,
able to breathe. Until the courts start trying these guys and actually bringing cases on them and finding them guilty, then there's not going to be a deterrent. The deterrent has to be, I don't want my ass to go to jail.
Right.
So I'm going to make sure I take care of this guy. I'm going to arrest him, but I'm going to make sure he's safe, and I'm not going to kill somebody because I don't want to go to jail for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
And until that's a threat, I mean, what's going to stop people?
I do think that there's a tendency to jump to this is full-on racism. It's racism in America, all this kind of stuff. I think you mess up some of the discussion jumping to that's the entire part of it, because I think – you can make people completely non-racist, and you would still see cops use too much force at times. You would see cops that were overworked, and certain things happen. It wouldn't matter the color of your skin. That being said, the color of your skin is in play here because it was a black man that died. So you have to, like, create that has to be part of the discussion. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's kind of outrageous. I don't know. Anyway, back to NFL stuff, JT. Did you see some of the rules that have been proposed for rule changes?
Yeah, I've seen a few of them. They seem kind of wacky.
There's a few of them. Yeah, let's see. One of them was presented by the competition committee that to expand defensive player protection to a kickoff or punt returner who is in possession of the ball but who has not had time to avoid or ward off the impending contact of an opponent. This feels weird. Like, how do you rule on this? Like, basically, a guy catches the ball, but you haven't given him time to dodge you? I mean, that's kind of the whole point of kickoff coverage is to not give him time to dodge you. Right?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, pretty much. Is it just me, or do sports tinker with rules way too often?
Oh, God, I hate it. Mm-hmm. What about, I mean, Josh? Like,
we don't need this yearly reevaluation of... Like, we've gotten to this point where the sports have kind of evolved into what they are. We don't need to keep changing these things up every year.
Yeah, I agree.
Thanks.
Thanks for your input there, Josh.
You're welcome.
It means a lot.
You're welcome.
Another rule presented by the competition committee, to prevent teams from manipulating the game clock by committing multiple dead ball fouls while the clock is running.
Like, shut up. Why are they even doing this shit? Shut up.
I mean, I guess in this case, they don't want people just running the clock out. They'd rather have the competition actually be between two players playing games, you know, not actual clock manipulation. What do you think, JT? Is that...
That seems like what they're going for, but to me, it's... They word these things in such a weird way that even the football fan, like, if I'm reading these rule proposals... I got to kind of do, like, math in my head to figure out what they're exactly talking about.
Sure.
And my thing is, if there's not a public outcry that says, oh, you need to change this, this rule is stupid, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, who cares? Yeah. Like, if I could change any rule but the NFL, it would be the overtime rule, and they'd do it like college. Mm-hmm. Because that's way more fun. If you've ever watched an overtime game in college, you know that that way they do it is way more entertaining than the NFL.
Yep.
Why don't they change that? Change that one. For if any rule you're going to change, do that one.
Here's a few more rules thrown out. By Philadelphia to amend Rule 15, Section 2 to make permanent the expansion of automatic replay reviews to include scoring plays, turnovers negated by a foul, and any successful or unsuccessful try attempt. That seems normal. That's just basically making the permanent that all those plays are under review, which I'm fine with. Another one was Philadelphia to provide an alternative to the onside kick that would allow a team an opportunity to maintain possession of the ball after scoring, and it would be 4th and 15 from the kicking team's 25-yard line.
This is kind of, all right, that one's kind of fun.
I can't tell if it's fun or terrible. Like, I go back and forth. There's a part of me that thinks,
I don't know. It's kind of cool.
It's kind of like,
so basically, in lieu of kick, you have your choice. You can try an onside kick, or you get on the 25 and you run a 4th and 15 play. You get one shot to gain 15 yards, and that's it. I think either way, if you look at it as a TV product, you're trying to build drama, and I think you got a better chance of converting a 4th and 15 than you do an onside kick. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a cool way to build more.
But so from the 25, though, if you complete a 4th and 15 from the 25, assuming you only basically get the 15 yards or a little more, say you get 20 yards to pick it up, you're still sitting at, what, 4th and – I mean, you'd be first down, but you're on your own 45-yard lines also. You still got, like, 55 right. yards to go for a touchdown. It feels like that's not going to help a lot of teams.
No, I think you got a better chance of converting that than an onside kick because at least you have maybe more control over where the ball goes.
Yeah, maybe
Onside kick, a lot of it is left up. All right, we're going to try to kick it there, and then the ball is oblong, so it's going to bounce crazy ways, and hopefully we can jump up there and grab it. Whereas an actual play, you have time to diagram and say, all right, well, here's the routes we want to run, here's what we want to do. And, I mean, look, it's not crazy to complete a 16-yard pass.
Sure, sure.
I mean, that's not
– I could see a team also that had no time left on the clock kind of thing. Like, you've just come back, you scored, you're within 2 points, two points, or 4 points even, of the other team. And there's, like, 15 seconds left on the clock, you know.
Yeah.
This at least gives you a Hail Mary shot to maybe make two plays and move the ball all the way down the field. Whereas an onside kick, pretty much time is going to run out by the time you get the ball. And then you have maybe one play.
I'm looking at it from a television standpoint. If your team is up by 10 and they give up a touchdown with a minute left in the game, usually – most of the time, you're like, okay, they got to still try an onside kick, and I feel pretty confident that we're going to get the onside kick and we'll win the game.
Yeah.
But now if the teams line up for 4th and 15, your butt's on the edge of the couch, and you're like, okay, this play is the ball game. Like, this is – they're drawing up a play, and this play decides, you know, whether we win or potentially lose the game. So I think from a television product standpoint, that's a really cool idea because it's just drawing the viewers in more – to where, you know, just provides a little more climax, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do know what you mean. What do you think, Josh? What do you think of this rule?
I don't care. I don't like rules. They're stupid. I don't like it.
I don't care. I agree. Whatever.
Let's see. A couple others. Miami... provide the option to the defense for the game clock to start on the referee's signal for the defense if the defense declines an offensive penalty that occurs late in either half.
I can't even. What does that even mean?
I don't know. I don't know. It's weird. Add a booth umpire as an 8th game official to the officiating crew. How you feel about that one? Instead of having booth review like in New York or something like that, you would actually have a umpire up in the booth at the game.
Huh?
If it'll help him get it right, I mean,
I don't think it would though. I think if he's part of the crew,
he's not likely to throw the other guys under the bus.
Exactly, just like you get with MLB now. You know, I don't know. Maybe.
Hmm.
I don't know. Let's see.
add a senior technology advisor to the referee to assist the officiating crew. I actually think that's a really good call. Because do you know how many times the officiating crew can't turn their mic on or can't get the replay to function right or whatever? Have somebody hired to actually take care of that crap. I'm surprised they don't already. It seems kind of dumb not to. Just saying. Anyway, that's a few of the NFL rules for the week. We'll see if any of those get passed or not. I haven't heard any verdict on them yet. So, fellas, tell me this. If I had to ask Josh Brown or JT Holton to give me one band you really like, one band that you love that no one would expect, who is it?
Band?
Yes, a band, singer. I mean, it doesn't have to be a band, but
some sort of musical artist that we like that no one probably thinks we like.
Yeah, for sure. That would surprise people.
Josh, Lady Gaga.
You have deep thoughts. Oh, you like Gaga, huh?
Fucking
is that
love
true?
Lady.
You actually do?
I love Lady Gaga.
What's your favorite song?
I could
song?
Play Bad Romance on the guitar right now.
Wow. Nice.
Rumba, rumba, rumba,
rumba, ba. Gaga, rumba, ba. Gaga, rumba, ba. Caught in the romance. I think she's so much fun to watch. And she's like legit talented.
She's super interesting. Yeah, she's very talented. It's kind of like Pink.
And she showed her boobs in that Pink documentary on Netflix, so. Just saying.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She did. She did. She did.
She's got my respect.
I have seen Lady Gaga's boobs.
What y'all think about, while we're on that, we'll come back to JT here in just a moment. What did y'all think of Adele losing all that weight? Holy crap, she looks good now.
She looks good.
She
yeah,
looks fantastic. I couldn't believe people got upset that she lost a bunch of weight.
Good for Adele. Well, you know, oh, you're fat shaming her. Like, no, I prefer people being in good shape.
Yeah, I wish I was good in good shape and not, like, super fat, but here we are, you know? But,
well, Ken, win a couple Grammys.
That's probably true. I'll just get it all sucked out. JT, what about you, buddy?
I really like the Dave Matthews Band a lot, but I feel like people kind of assume that because I'm a douchebag.
That's true. I'm not surprised.
You are a douchebag. I mean, yeah,
that's not a shock.
I mean, Puka Shell JT kind of screams Dave Matthews Band.
Right?
You know? Just saying.
Right. My dad made fun of me this past week for my love of Puka Shells.
That's like, I bet you were also a big fan of Tom, what's his last name? Crap. God, everybody listened to him in school.
Tom Crap?
No, what was his last name? Dadgummit. All the douchey Dave people liked him. Crap, I can't think of his name.
Tom? His name is Tom?
His first name's Tom, yeah. I can't think of what it is.
I don't know who you're talking about.
I'll have to hunt it.
Okay. I like Billy Joel a lot. Big fan of Billy Joel. I don't know. I'm pretty on brand with my musical taste. I don't like anything that's too out there. I've seen the Red Hot Chili Peppers twice.
Okay.
They're fun.
Nice.
Yeah. They're a good time. With my mom.
See, that's not surprising. I would totally pin you as a Red Hot Chili Pepper fan.
Yeah, I'm not, like, there's not too much that's off brand for me.
Yeah.
I'm curious who Tom is.
Dadgummit, I'm so mad I can't remember what his last name
Tom,
is.
Tom Petty?
No, yeah. No. See, this is like singer-songwriter Tom, like kind of a little bit indie. I can't think of what his last name is.
John Mayer.
No, not him. You like John Mayer
too.
I like John Mayer.
Yeah, I've seen him in concert.
I like
John Mayer fan.
Your body is a wonderland. Why don't you? No,
I
could have
been John Mayer.
Seriously, John Mayer with Buddy Guy, one of the best videos. If you go on YouTube, you can watch like their whole concert together. Fantastic. It is incredible. John Mayer is an amazing guitarist too, by the way. Just saying.
He's very, very
Josh
very
is rolling his eyes. I'm sorry, Josh. Sorry you're mad.
No, he's good. He can throw down some blues, but he's a douche canoe.
I don't know. Once I learned that he dated Taylor Swift and then thought it was hilarious that she got mad about it, I kind of thought he was a pretty good guy. Kind of liked him after
that. All right, that's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah. But for me,
Carmen?
No, that wouldn't surprise anyone, JT. Oh. Yeah, Metallica or Korn?
Probably. I like Korn back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day. Like, not, I don't know anything about modern Korn, but like, yeah, back in the day, Korn.
Metallica is weird because, like, I know a lot about them, but like, I would never, I can't imagine sitting down listening to like a whole Metallica album.
Oh, yeah, like I have all of them. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, I could tell you all their albums. I know a lot about Metallica, but like, I don't think it's my cup of tea.
Yeah, see, I could totally sit down and listen to a whole Metallica album. Wouldn't bother me a bit. Like, I'd enjoy that. Yeah, so.
I know about Ride the Lightning and Injustice for All and all those.
All right, I got one that might actually blow your minds a little bit. But I got into it last summer.
Oh, gosh.
My buddy Ben Wayne up here, my trout fishing buddy, took me to my first ever metal show. All right.
Okay.
And I don't even know how to explain it. You just have to go to a metal show. It's like nothing else. We went to see this band called Thy Art Is Murder, and
I remember you showing us some pictures from that. Yeah.
They're Australian and they're fucking incredible. They're stupid good musicians. I mean, they're insane. Well, as Ben's prepping me for that show, which is my first metal show. Leading up to it, he's prepping me. We're in the car, and he's giving me stuff to listen to. He got me into this band, y'all, that I got.
Oh, but I might know who you're going to say.
Mastodon.
Oh, they're pretty good. Oh, yeah. They're pretty good.
They're from Georgia. Aren't they from
Georgia? Yeah, they're from Atlanta.
Yeah. That wasn't who I was thinking, but yeah, good call.
Yeah, they're off the chain. And you know me. I'm a bluegrass country guy, you know, so I don't listen to it all the time. But low-key, can throw on some Mastodon and go for a run or something like that, you know?
I used to be a hard rock guy, man. I like Shinedown and Five Finger Death Punch. And
see, I don't like that stuff. It's got, I'm weird about it.
That's
so, like,
a little commercially, but I still like
it. Yeah, anything commercially.
Now do you
like
Dream Theater? Have you ever heard Dream
Theater? Yeah, I've seen a shit ton.
See, they're not commercially.
No, but they're no singing either. They're just kind of like they're.
But John Petrucci is the best guitarist I probably have ever actually seen.
But they're like Dream Theater is. It's incredible to watch a YouTube video of Dream Theater and their drumming and their guitar. I mean, they're insanely talented. But there's no emotion in it, I guess, for me. So Mastodon, a band like Mastodon, like it's like a rock band. It's heart and soul, and then you still have the technicality of like the musicianship in it, I guess. You know, so as Dream Theater, it's more like a.
Did you like Chevelle? Did you ever like Chevelle?
The Christian rock band.
Oh, were they Christian? I didn't know they were Christian.
They were. Yeah. They started out.
I didn't realize that. I didn't know they were.
Yeah, they were. What about? All right.
Yeah. What was some of the others?
So lay down. Yeah. The threat is real.
Like how much? Like I imagine. I can't imagine Josh liking anything that made like top 40 charts for the most part. Were you like a Fuel guy? Did you like Fuel?
No.
Or?
See anything like that, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like,
That's what I figured.
And I'm not being contrary. I never liked it. I never liked it. Like Seven Dust, Fuel, Slither, anything like
Seether.
Yeah. I never Slither liked like Evanescence movie. Makes me want to gag. Linkin Park, ugh. All that shit. I don't know. Not that, that's not metal, obviously.
Rest
that's
in
just
peace.
Like kind of commercial.
Did you like STP?
Oh yeah.
See, I love Stone Temple Pilots back in the day.
I liked POD though. I was down with the POD.
Really?
POD.
Really? Yeah. That's hilarious. That's
big
another
fan.
Christian band.
Yeah, but they were cool though. They were cool.
Yeah.
When I was in third grade, I made all A's on my report card. And my dad handed me a CD, said, "Congrats on making all A's. Your mom told me you like this band, so here you go." And it was a copy of Core by Stone Temple Pilots.
Nice.
Which I was 9 years old, and my dad paid no attention to the back of the CD, which track number two was Sex Type Thing that he just bought for his 9-year-old
son.
Appreciate that.
Raise your hand if you were a hidden in the closet Nine Inch Nails fan, because I freaking love Trent Reznor.
Yeah, I never got into him.
I have only listened to their like radio stuff. Like, I've heard, like, Closer.
You want to hear a crazy
Head
thing?
Like a Hole and,
yeah,
you know, they're bigger hits.
I preached an entire message with at a church using I Hurt Myself Today to see if I still bleed as a background track.
See, I never knew that song until Johnny Cash did it. I didn't even know it existed.
Yeah, Johnny Cash did it, but he was not the first one to do it.
Yeah,
or at least,
never knew that.
You know, Trent Reznor now, like, makes movie soundtracks, and he's, like, phenomenal at it. He's, like, one of the best in the world. It's pretty incredible. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, anyway.
Well, there
the
you
things
go.
You learn on a Knock Elimination podcast show. What can I say, fellas? It's been another fun week, guys. I've enjoyed
it's
talking all things not sports with you while there are no sports to talk about. Just saying.
I listen to a lot of Blink 182.
Ooh,
I like
Blink
182.
I like the Blink back in the day. I like Blink back in the day.
That's
also I know a lot of Jay Z songs.
What about
I've had a bunch of his albums.
What about shit that's like embarrassing that you're like, honest, even now it's like that's kind of embarrassing, but I kind of like it.
I went out to the store and bought Chumbawamba's album.
That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing.
Alice in Chains. Yeah, yeah. Did you guys like Alice in Chains? Bad.
I did like Alice in Chains. Had their Unplugged CD.
Yeah, Crows. Black Crows?
Yeah.
Oh, I love still love Black Crows. Oh, my God, dude.
See, Black Crows
She Talks to
like,
Angels is
Black Crows
amazing.
Was like this weird crossover genre for me because Black Crows kind of have this 80s rock vibe, but they also kind of have this Stone Temple Pilots like 90s grunge vibe. And like they're a crossover band to me that plays both sides of the fence because you can listen to some Alice in Chains and you're like, you know, that almost sounds like Ozzy. Like, it kind of has this whole Ozzy Osbourne kind of feel. And then you listen to some of it, and you're like, I'm pretty certain Black Hole Sun's the next song they're going to play. You know, like, that's just the way it feels.
I'll tell you, one thing I watched last week that is captivating, and I don't know why, is this, you can still get it on YouTube, is this fella named Post Malone.
Yeah.
Who I'm not really, I don't really know a lot of his work. But he does this, he did this concert at his home. And Travis Barker from Blink 182 is his drummer. And then he just covers Nirvana songs for like an hour and a half.
All right, that's awesome.
And it's really freaking good. And I don't know why I liked it, but I really did.
I'll have to check that out.
Great
that's
job.
Cool.
Yeah, just it's fine on YouTube. All right, and it's
college,
freaking amazing.
College CDs. Like, what college CDs did you wear the crap out? I've got my...
Jimmy Eat World's, Bleed American, and Futures.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Both of those two.
I got... I wore that one out a little bit.
By the time I got to college, I had like LimeWire CDs that I had burned.
You would have.
So like, I didn't
nerd.
Have any like
we had CDs.
Actual individual CDs.
I wore out Whiskey Town's Pneumonia, like forever.
Oh, early Ryan like, Adams. Look at you.
Petey Pablo.
I wore out some Pete Yorn. I was rocking out some Pete Yorn, you guys. Pretty hardcore.
Life on a Chain?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Probably number one for me, like... wearing out of the CD. I don't think this album ever got any love, but like I loved it. Was the Wallflowers album Red Letter Days.
Oh, such a good one. Yes. Yeah. Oh, such a good album.
I think
album.
It came out in like 2002. Like that was my favorite album for like 2 years.
What about Cake? Did you guys ever
I
like
loved Cake. Cake
is fun.
What about Candlebox? I was the one hit wonder Candlebox guy.
Candlebox was awesome.
Yeah.
There were two hits off that album.
That's true.
Cake
was two
the
hit
shit,
wonder.
Man. I want a girl with a short skirt and a long jacket.
That was a great... The music video for that one was outstanding. Honestly, one of the best bands of our lifetime that we don't ever think about being that good, Weezer. Weezer has had like an incredible run of like 25 years of good music.
I never liked them.
They're really fun.
Yeah, they're fun. Yeah, I saw them live once at like... Lakewood or something.
Josh is gonna hate me for this, but Radiohead. I love some Radiohead.
I love Radiohead.
You guys are both wrong. They're terrible.
Dude, Radiohead's off the chain.
Now,
Radiohead could record themselves taking a dump, and Rolling Stone would give it like 5 stars.
That's probably true, but I still like Radiohead. Guys,
you have an icebreaker when you meet Craig Calcaterra.
What about
great?
Okay,
Radiohead is
best rock band of the 90s. Real fast, we'll wrap up the show on this. Best rock band. Doesn't have to be deep thought. There's probably better
of the
ones.
Best rock band of
the
90s?
Wow.
90s, early 2000s, you know, that period. Like
best
Josh
or favorite?
About.
Like, sing-along to favorite or best?
Favorite. Let's go favorite.
Okay. I'm going to go with the New Radicals.
Okay. Well, okay.
Courtney Love and Marilyn Manson.
JT?
Oh, man. Maybe I Third Eye
Blind.
Oh.
I like Third Eye Blind, too. Now I'm torn. Now I'm torn. I like Third Eye Blind.
Oh, Natalie Imbruglia. I don't know. I don't know. Like, Pearl Jam's been around a long time.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I don't pick. Know. I would say Nirvana, but they, you know, he like died.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, other than that.
For me, it comes down to two. I can't make a decision, but it comes down to two. Oasis?
Ew.
Or Foo Fighters?
I'd take the Foo Fighters over Oasis all day. But.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
Come on, man! You can't take the Oasis.
It's
kind of
okay. It's different genres, man. Like middle school me.
Sure.
Middle school me lived for Wonderwall, and
oh my God.
Like after all.
But Dave Grohl is pretty incredible.
He
right?
is. Dave Grohl.
He goes
best.
And plays drums for Nirvana, and then makes a band that's honestly
better.
Factor in longevity.
Yeah, they're better.
Might be
yeah.
better
it's okay
than Nirvana.
Say. Nirvana's
they
really.
Didn't have the, they didn't have the cultural impact.
Nirvana's
Nirvana
overrated. Right. If Nirvana comes, if Nirvana's not the first one to do it, then they're highly overrated. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
Because of the first
Nirvana
one, to do it, they're not. But
Nirvana has the benefit of dying at the right time. They didn't put out a bunch of crap. It's kind of the same thing the Beatles have. Because the Beatles, everybody looks at the greatest rock band of all time, but they were together for 9 years. So it wasn't like the Rolling Stones have been together a long time, so they've had a chance to put out a bunch of crap.
That's true.
Yeah. Nirvana, it was very succinct, and it was kind of a tipping point in rock music from hair metal to all of a sudden, we're onto something else now.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, like when Nevermind came out and Smells Like Teen Spirit hit, everyone forgot about their Winger albums and was like onto a new thing.
That's true. That's true. But Oasis, man, God, it was like my middle school jam. It was. No. It's now. Here's the thing: like Foo Fighters are very commercial. Like they totally are. They're mainstream as it gets. I still love them. You know, I still think Dave Grohl's cover of Blackbird is my favorite all time.
Yeah.
Blackbird sitting on the edge.
They do an amazing cover of Darling Nikki from Prince.
That's true. They do.
It's one of my favorites. Yeah.
Yes.
It's awesome.
It's also a great song.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely not safe for kids.
That's
but,
for Josh's wife.
It's a good song. Ooh, yeah, play that one for your wife, Josh. That'll
I'm sure she likes favors. That one. Caught her doing this in the bathroom.
Hmm.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, we're going to stop the show with that. It's been a great week here on Not Combination. Josh Brown, JT, you're two of my favorite people in the world,
don't
and I love
stop.
Hanging out with you guys. You're so special.
Lord.
And if I had to go back in time, you know what? My favorite band of the 2000s would be Josh Brown. Dropping his album and JT being the Puka Band Dave Matthews guy. Like, I could see it. JT probably has been on a beach with a guitar in his hand, serenading four women.
You've
at once.
Got just... your bow, you've got your chain.
Stop.
Yeah.
See? Stop. Boom.
I'm going to eventually think of who that Tom guy is, and I'm going to laugh at you all and send it to you, but I can't think of what his name is right now. So, anyway. Hey, if you would like to support the nation, and join the nation of knuckleheads, you can do so. Go visit patreon.com/knucklehomination, where you can become one of three levels. You can become a $5 patron, a $9 patron, or a $21 patron. A $21 patron gets you a t-shirt, $9 gets you a shout-out and a sticker, and a $5 gets you the sticker so that you know you're a part of the family. Hey, they're pretty cool. They say knucklehomination on them, and they look pretty sweet. Also, if you'd like some awesome swag, we've got a like what, guys? Six brand new T-shirts, I think it is, that are out and available.
Have we sold any?
We sold a few, not very many yet. I'd like to sell a lot more. Shop.spreadshirt.com/knuckleheadnation. Get all your trolling shirts and your slaughterhouse shirts and rock out
with your cock out.
Your
knockout.
With your knockout.
Oh,
that's where I was
with your
going.
Knockout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rock out with your knockout. There you go. Visit shop.spreadshirt.com/knuckleheadnation. Thanks for listening this week, guys. It's a blast. And
in a boy's dream.
Black hole sun, won't you come? Take away.
Hack up your skirt a little more.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.